In our confession, we named some lies about the first Thanksgiving. We heard stories, didn't we, of growing up, of needy pilgrims, of kind and generous Indians, and prayers of gratitude and bountiful harvests. And as in much of our mythology, there is some element of truth, but we are invited, as Duane helped us, to name the whole truth of our history. A part of that reality is how settlers, how Europeans came to settle this land with in their back pockets what's called the doctrine of discovery. If you haven't heard of it, in short, the doctrine of discovery is a centuries-old document from the Vatican that declares that any land in which Christians do not live was deemed as empty and open, and therefore okay to be settled. And the pagans that happened to be living there, obviously they were not Christian, if they happened to be living on that land, were either then to be converted or to be removed. What does a day of national gratitude mean for our native communities who lost so much life and land, not to mention the millions of enslaved Africans and waves of immigrants, and then the indentured poor? And I wonder if we, on Thursday, this Thursday, when we gather around our tables, that we can hold both of those together in our table, both the lament and the rejoicing, the thanksgiving and the sorrow, even though it might be uncomfortable. I wondered if perhaps the seeds of the doctrine of discovery grow out of the Deuteronomy text that I want to refer to. A Deuteronomy text that from chapter 26 that begins this way: "When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at the time and say to him, 'Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestor to give us.' When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: 'A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and prosperous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw us, and saw our affliction and toil and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your home." Do you hear this language of possessing the land, a land that was already occupied by foreign people, people foreign to them, a land that was, according to their God, to be taken and possessed? Do I wonder if, in fact, the seeds of the doctrine of discovery aren't really in this biblical text? But what I also hear is something else going on in this Deuteronomy text. For the people to remember that all of it belongs to God, and that they are to bring the first of the fruit as a reminder that it all belongs to God, and they're to bring the best and the first as an offering to God, the source of all. Secondly, the text says that because they were aliens in the land of Egypt and subject to slavery and exploitation, and now that they are free, they are to remember to treat with justice those aliens among them. So that in the end, as the text says, aliens who reside among you shall celebrate the bounty of the Lord your God, the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. It all belongs to God. We are to remember the sense of ourselves being wandering Aramaeans. One of the folk songs that I remember from my youth is that of Woody Guthrie's, "This Land Is Your Land." I didn't know when I was a youth that Guthrie actually wrote this song as a protest song. A protest song that against one of the songs that was being played over and over and over on the radio at the time. A song that was so well-loved, a patriotic song called "God Bless America" by Irving Berlin. Guthrie heard the voices of many as he traveled, of a nomad traveling across the country. He heard the voices of many who had suffered or were excluded from the promise of America and wondered if this land is your land, and actually wrote the song that way. Asking the question in the song, if this land is your land and my land. And if the question to that is yes, this land is our land together, then we commit ourselves to make this land a blessing for all people. We have much for which to be thankful, but can only give thanks as a nation with utmost humility and an honest confession. We can no longer, I think, pass on our collective narrative or sing songs of peace and national pride without listening to and respecting all sides of the stories belonging to this land. Still, it remains that we are to testify and to give thanks to the Lord for all God's goodness. Even as we are lamenting and confessing on a daily basis, holding those together in tension. So we're doing it this morning in this service, offering our thanksgivings, thinking specifically about those things for which we are grateful, thinking specifically about those things of which we lament, perhaps that we had no personal part of, but that we continue to live out of that sense of past sin into the present. I named just a few of my own thanksgivings, and then I want to open up for you offering your own either lament or thanksgiving. So you might be thinking of that even while I'm speaking my own. As I was thinking of it this week, one of the great thoughts of my thanksgiving, I think triggered by the fact of Jessica's ordination this afternoon, was the fact that I'm grateful for 30 plus years of pastoral ministry, and especially these last 11 plus here at Percussie Mennonite. Grateful for the Spirit who continues to nudge and convict and abide with me. Grateful for each of you, for this congregation that Jessica and I have the privilege of pastoring. For your goodness to us as pastoral leaders. For, as Steve Nice likes to say, this motley crew that we are. This wonderful affirmation of the kingdom of God right here, right before our eyes. Those are a couple of the things for which I am thankful, and I now invite any of you to name your own thanksgivings, or if there's a lament of your heart that you need to speak, please do so.